Never fear, I am here with the news, according to me. It's Wednesday, September 3rd, 7:04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I am Kevin, I'm your host this morning. Call the show. Call the hotline. Leave a message, text message. 812-379-8778. Call, text, send a text, or you can call, leave a message, or you can send a text, or call and leave a message. Any one of those options. So many options. I may or may not play your thing on the show. Who knows? Yeah. All depends on what it is. I have to be able to understand it. And it has to make sense. In my cup this morning, let's just start with that. It's already late in the week. It's Wednesday. It's already late in the week. Of course, Monday was Labor Day, so I couldn't labor. Plus the fact that I was busy sailing across the blue, bluish green water of Lake Michigan from Chicago to Michigan City. It was actually going. We went over there Friday, and there was quite a bit of wind on Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday was really windy on the lake. It was fairly a lot of waves, a lot of high wave action, you might say. The wind kind of died down. It was coming out of the north, which is, of course, lengthwise of that lake. There's nothing to stop it. And the waves build up like crazy on the south side if it's coming out of the north. And it settled down somewhat Thursday night. And then, of course, the waves were still there. So what ends up happening is it becomes what I call lumpy. It's just a lot of leftover big waves that keep rolling through. And on top of that, then you have the waves from the normal wind action, which is, two to 3 feet, doesn't sound like a lot, but it's pretty choppy water. Went over there from on Friday, and it was easy sail. It just did a beam reach, doing almost hull speed the whole way over, about seven, eight knots, occasionally. The thing was just sailing right along, and doing very well, whole way over, and then coming back, same thing. Basically the same conditions, except it wasn't lumpy. It was just choppy. I'd say 2 foot, 2 to 3 foot, probably. Bouncing around a little bit, but not. It wasn't bad at all. We had taken the bikes over on the boat, and what we do is we get together with my wife's family there, and Sunday morning they closed down the Lakeshore Drive. From 6:30 to 10:30 or 11, and you can ride up and down the Lakeshore Drive. It's 15 miles each way, so you basically start at one end. That's what we do. We start at one end and go to the other end, and then come back, and then we have breakfast, all on our bikes. It's a 30-mile ride plus getting to the event plus going to breakfast and all that stuff, and then getting back to the boat. So I think we put about, I think it was 47 miles or 48 miles, something like that, on the boat or on the bikes on Sunday, and then sailed home on Monday. Got home about 1 o'clock in the morning, basically Eastern time. Anyway, it was a beautiful day. It was the whole weekend was just awesome weather. Not really any no rain. There was. Temperatures were in the low to mid 70s. Just a very pleasant weekend. Nice sleeping weather. Is in the temperatures in the 60s. Just made it very nice. Now here in the background, you can hear my dog, who didn't go with us. My puppy didn't get to go with us. He had to go to the kennel for the weekend. He was very happy to come home. Still very happy. He's chewing his little chew toy, his little yak milk or whatever it is. He loves that thing. And I think he missed it. You know, when he's here all the time, he doesn't always chew on it, but he's got it. In my cup, I have my chai with my Almond Joy creamer, and I have it's my backup cup. I think I'm almost out of sweet tea, that homemade sweet tea. In fact, I think what I have left is probably not any good. I have about a half a cup left of Chick-fil-A sweet tea that we had yesterday. Yesterday was our anniversary, 36 years. We ended up going to breakfast, had some chores to run in the morning, so we kind of did some of that kind of stuff, and then went to breakfast and then picked up all the animals. Well, the yard, did some of the, you know, all the things you do on your 36th anniversary. And then we, took a nap at one point. Ended up, so today, of course, we're on vacation. I'm on vacation, till for a couple more weeks yet, but it's hard. It's just, it's amazing to me that I have that much vacation. it's kind of blowing me away. I'm not sure I'm going to learn how, I'm not sure I'm going to remember how to do my job when I get back. But in all fairness, I'm not sure I knew how to do it before I left. My wife is going to work a couple days. Now that we're home, she's going to go into work a couple days just to, kind of keep some things from getting too far behind. And I myself am just going to try to catch up on some things around the house here, just kind of get some things done somewhere. So we hit our next big vacation time. We've got a wedding to go to on Saturday night, but I've got to have church on Friday night, wedding on Saturday night. And I think we're going to head out to maybe go camping after that. We'll see how it all goes this week. But Take care of that. Anyway, in the news that's what the show is about. This is a show about the news and what I think about the news, and you can tell me what you think about what I think about the news. We have a calling 812-379-8778. Well, 8778, if I didn't say that clearly. We have a couple of things going on. This whole Chicago thing is kind of blowing up a little bit. Brandon Johnson, since I was just in Chicago, I guess he was at the Bike the Drive event. I didn't see him riding around anywhere, but he was apparently downtown in the center part, which is the main area where you do your breaks, take a break there. And there's one end to the other end of the place. They have this big, huge area where you can get bananas and stuff there. So, water, snacks. They provide for you free. It's free. You had to pay to do the event, of course. So you're buying a very expensive T-shirt, and you get a free banana. So the we have and there's thousands of people at this thing. It's amazing how it didn't seem like it was as busy this year as it was last year. It didn't seem like it was as crowded. I don't know. Now the whole event, though, the amazing thing to me was the whole event. Of course, there's always injuries. You always see people, laying out on the cement with, ambulances everywhere. You'll see that a couple, maybe one or two throughout the event. Now, last year, we saw a really bad one. The event this year, there was not much wind, really, and the temperature was awesome. And I think it had a lot to do with the fact that we went down and back and I wasn't really tired. I could have gone another. I was hungry, but I wasn't really tired. I could have probably gone another 10, 15 miles before I really would have started feeling it. I was kind of surprised about that. But because usually I'm just wiped out at the end of the thing. But I was not. In fact, I went back. We were having some issues with the boat, and I ended up going back to the boat and worked on the boat a little while before I even took a nap. But had some things to do on that thing. It wasn't running right. The engine the fuel tank is actually where the problem is. But anyway, it's got a little diesel motor in it. Brandon Johnson was apparently there, and I never saw him. I saw clips of him talking at the event because he was talking about military tanks rolling through the streets or whatever it is, whatever they're talking about. I don't know that they're talking about putting tanks on the streets. They might have some of those armored Humvees, kind of the urban, vehicles. And Chicago proper is not where the problem is. Chicago proper is where most of the white people are. And they're all walking around and say, well, there's no crime problem here. We don't need President Trump here. Well, they don't live on the south side or the west side. In fact, South Chicago is not considered Chicago proper. It's not considered Chicago. It's a city of its own. It's got its own zip code. It is a different city. It has its own mayor. South Chicago is a town. And that's where people have to get, you have to get kind of careful about where you are. We were, at one point, we were on the north side of Chicago there, and we were going to go down to get some ice cream. And I wasn't even sure we were actually in the Chicago city limits. We were, but I wasn't sure we were. And because I know that there's a lot of little burbs that just run, you run right into them. You don't know that you're in Chicago or not. It's Evanston's up there at some point. It's a little bit further north, but you wouldn't know you were going from one town to the next if you were just driving along down, just driving along Lakeshore there. It's just, it all runs together. You can't tell where there's a city and where there's not. It just runs together. And there's a couple other, there's like Elmhurst. There's a couple other places that are little burbs within themselves, within the city. And it's, I don't know if burbs is a proper term. Burbs is short for suburbs. It's not really a suburb. But the, so you have to kind of be careful about, when you say you're in Chicago, you say it is Chicago. You're in Chicago. In fact, I consider Evansville, Chicago, Evanston, Chicago, but it's, you're in Chicago, but you're not in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So that when they quote numbers, is what I'm talking about. When they start quoting numbers, well, it's within that city limit that they're talking about. Oh, they say crime is down 2%. Well, this is still on the downfall from COVID and all the riots that were going on. They can claim that their crime rate's going down, but it's not necessarily. It's still dangerous. People who live there are upset about it. In fact, there are some people. There's I could probably play this. I think this is this one lady. I'm not going to play any audio today. I'm going to play some audio. Tomorrow is the plan. Pritzker is all upset. He says, he's quoting this whole posse. We have posse comitatus. You can't, which is, basically can't. Military cannot be cannot be activated against its citizens here in the United States without what's called an insurrection. He's calling it insurrection because that's the word we used during January 6th was insurrection. If there is an uprising against the government that is militarized, that is, it's an overthrow attempt. Now this is borderline. You have to be really careful about this because what ends up happening here is you claim, well, they rose up against the government. Well, they didn't. Read the Constitution. Read the founders' documents made it very clear the whole reason we have a Second Amendment. And it makes it, it sure sounds like the people have the right to do that. And posse comitatus was basically there to keep, see, that's the whole thing, the whole point of our government was that we were to be a government for, of, and by the people. And every person, every landowner was to be sovereign in their own right, in their own property. We were in a sense, your property line was kind of like your own little nation. And that's not where we've gone in this country. It's not the individual liberty thing is not there. It is now collective special rights. Government gives us our rights. They give us more rights. I think the founders pretty much gave us as many rights as we. I mean, and you could, of course, you make the argument, well, the black man didn't have all his rights. Well, it's what. But it eventually became that, didn't it? Now, I heard Brandon in a speech that he made recently. I don't think it was at the Bike the Drive thing. It was someplace prior to that. He was talking about this whole. He's out there making all these really tough statements about how we don't need the military here in our city. While he's saying that, there's 50 people were shot in Chicago over the weekend. There was a soccer game, kids' soccer game. There's video of all these kids running and getting down on the ground because they were hearing shots being fired. But that's okay because Brandon's okay, so that's okay. Everybody's okay because Brandon's okay. It's just the craziness of these people. Of course, now D.C. has the D.C. mayor has basically to her credit, she turned around and said, "Hey, crime is down, carjackings are way down." In fact, I don't think there's been a murder for the last 2 weeks. They're going to break a record here soon. It's amazing, isn't it? And yet, Brandon Johnson said, "That's not a problem, not a problem, not a problem here. Stay out. We'll keep the military out of here." Of course, now he's warning that there's going to be a military takeover of the United States. This is going to be martial law in the United States, and he's going to become, you know. Now, I don't know. I don't like the fact that the government that the National Guard or military has to step in to do anything in our cities. You know, they keep talking about, we have to get to the root causes. Well, where were we 50 years ago, 60 years ago? The crime issue per capita was not as bad as it is now. Why is it declined? Why are we in decline? Aren't we progressing forward? Aren't we evolving on the issues? What is different about our culture now than it was 50 years ago? Almost exactly 60 years ago. Well, they've taken Bible and prayer out of the schools, haven't they? We have a cultural problem in our nation. And it's been fed and encouraged by certain individuals not to bring reconciliation and rebuild and moving forward as a nation. But it's this divisive anger, bitterness, hatred, retribution kind of attitude. It's got to stop. It's not getting us anywhere. We are not moving forward, getting better, finding reconciliation at all. There's nothing like that's going on. So Brandon Johnson has the audacity to get up and make those kinds of speeches, of course, while his city's being shot up. Maybe it's not his city. Maybe it's just Southside. This is where they like to play with the numbers. It's all a bunch of theater. If it was Joe Biden doing it, they would say, "Oh, look at this. Oh, this is so wonderful. He's coming in here. He's going to help us solve our crime problem." But since it's Donald Trump, it's a government takeover. It's not what this is about at all. Now Donald Trump claims he's got an obligation to protect his citizens of his protect his nation, he does to some extent. It'd be nice if he could work with the governors and the mayors to get this done. But they pick and choose whether it's a blue state or a blue city. The Democrats, they'll say, "Well, it's in a red state, but it's the bluest city in the whole state." They're going after, cracking down on. Now, in the case of Illinois, it is a blue city in a blue state, relatively blue state. You get outside of Chicago, every place else south of Chicago, with the exception maybe of Champaign. And you get down into near St. Louis. It is primarily a red state. Most of the state is red. Now, my understanding is they're getting rid of the to tell you how blue the state is. In order to own any gun in Chicago, in Illinois, the state of Illinois, to own any gun, shotgun, anything, you have to have a permit. It's called a FIFA. What do they call it? It's a firearms something. It costs $5 or $10. You have to buy that. And the argument is, and here's the catch. It's the most circular definition of taking someone's rights that you'll ever hear. What they do is they say, well, you have a right to bear arms, but you have to have this permit. If you don't have this permit, then you don't have then you can't exercise your right. And it's this deal where if you don't have the permit, then you're in violation of the law and you're not a lawful citizen. A law-abiding citizen. Well, you're not law-abiding if you don't have a permit. Therefore, you shouldn't be allowed to have a gun because you're not law-abiding. The law is you have to have a permit. Well, the permit is specifically for having a gun. So it's this circular mentality that has been thrown out on its face. I think that the whole permit thing is going to go away in the state of Illinois. There was an appellate court, I guess, that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. I don't understand all the legal stuff, but it went to a higher court. We got appealed to a higher court, like a jurisdictional type thing. And they decided that it was not lawful for the state of Illinois to require this guy to have the FIFA or whatever it is, whatever they call it over there, their little gun owner permit thing. And it's kind of interesting with regard to how that's going to pan out. But that's the kind of blueness you've got over there. There you go. Now, this brings me to the other issue, this cultural issue. And one of the things that I think needs to be spoken of, and it's everybody wants freedom and liberty. And what ends up happening here is people want the liberty and the freedom without the responsibility and the accountability. I guess that's what, kind of where this is kind of at, is we have a difference between one way or another. You will be under some kind of discipline. You'll either live with imposed rules upon having someone impose rules upon you, or you will impose rules upon yourself that you will maintain and stay within the your own boundaries that you have set for yourself. I learned this. I did a lot of training in martial arts, and one of the things I learned as you go through the ranks, everybody calls it self-discipline. Well, you learn self-discipline. No, you don't. If you don't go to class, you probably won't train. You might train for a little while, and you'll give it up. You won't train as well. You won't do as well. Someone isn't there watching over you to do your training. It's a whole other thing. It's like going to the gym. People who have a gym in their own room, in their own home, have a tendency to not work out as hard. It's just a scientific proven thing. There's all kinds of research on this. When you go to another place, when you make a deliberate action to go there to do something, to train, and you may not even have a trainer there. Just the fact that there's other people watching you. has an effect on you. You'll probably push yourself to do more there than you would at home. Not everyone has that kind of discipline. You can't, you know, it's a discipline that's imposed upon you because of peer pressure. It's a peer pressure imposition, but it's still you know, an external imposition of discipline. It pushes you harder. If no one's around, you may or may not do that last rep. May not even do another set. So it's one of those things where it's the same thing. When you have a situation where you're training, it just goes through the motions and you don't really push yourself. One of the things you learn through the process, well, I learned through the process of and most people do, through the process of martial arts, and then there's other arts and disciplines that you'll learn, where it goes beyond someone else disciplining you. Some external, you know, discipline is imposed upon you to the point where you impose it upon yourself. You now live a self-disciplined life. It's very different. When nobody's looking, when nobody's watching, when you're on your own, you can still do this thing and live a life disciplined that is, it goes well and above and beyond what the majority of the population understand. Our culture, unfortunately, has become this way, and it's largely due, I don't want to disparage. If you're a public school teacher, if you're in the public school system, I don't want to disparage it. The public school system serves its purpose, and it's not all bad. But it one of the bad downsides of public school is that it kind of teaches us this mentality of students won't disobey the teachers out of fear for the right, you know, for what might happen to them. They might get, you know, in trouble. They don't obey the rules. And you have these school systems now that they can't discipline the kids. So the kids obviously aren't going to discipline themselves. They know nothing about self-discipline. But at the same time, operating out of fear of discipline is not necessarily a good place to operate either. It's not a healthy environment as well. What's worse is operating out of fear of other students. The things that are going on within the public school system, even private school. There's nothing to restrain the kids, and they get away with all kinds of things. And it presents a whole different kind of fear. It's one thing to fear. And fear out of respect for authority. It's another whole other thing to fear out of respect. Not out of respect, but out of livelihood from kids that want to harm you or bully you or whatever it is that's going on with them. It's a whole different world. You know, the nation I grew up in, the country the way it was when I grew up in the, you know, 60s and 70s, very different place now than it was 50 years ago. And you know, I was just looking at a video. There's something going on in Chicago. There's some kind of a fight breaking out, and it was something on the street. These kids were, it was basically kind of a gang fight type thing, and it was spilling over into this shopping area where there was basically just normal people. There's people out shopping. So one guy got knocked unconscious, laying on the street. His shirt was off. Lay in there on the street. And a security guard comes out of a building, from another building. It's just a security guard. He wasn't a cop. Walks over and starts rooting through this guy's pants. Pulls out a wallet. Walks off. He robbed the guy. Took his wallet. This is sick on a lot of different levels. For one, you're taking the guy's identification away from the guy. He probably, now how are they going to know who this guy is? This is a serious issue. Doesn't call an ambulance, doesn't call the police, doesn't call anybody to help the guy, just, you know, takes that. Then you got people videoing this whole thing, just standing there watching everything happen. At least the guy was, you know, get something, at least you get on video, at least you can turn it over to the authorities, at least you're doing something. I'm sure they didn't turn it over to the authorities. They probably just posted on TikTok or something before they, whatever. And then you got another guy walks up and starts rooting through his, you know, trying to get anything else off the guy. Takes his watch, takes all kinds of stuff. And they just leave the guy laying there. Nobody, you know, bothers to help the guy. Everybody's watching all this happen. And I tell you, I was watching a couple guys that were kind of tussling with each other. They were grappling. They were both on their feet. They were kind of pushing each other around, kind of grappling back and forth. Obviously, one was kind of the aggressor. I tell you, you just don't allow that. You don't mess around with that. You end it right now. You don't screw around with, we're going to wrestle around here a little bit and see how this goes. Because it's not going to go well. One little mistake, and now you're in a compromised position. You can't do that. Seems like people too often think they're going to de-escalate a situation once it's already, you know, once a person has decided they're going to harm you or do whatever they're going to do. It's just, you can't, there's no negotiation after that. Anyway. So we have a cultural problem, and I think it's high time that leadership in this nation step forward and actually makes a difference. But we need some serious leaders. The leadership is lacking, and you know, brute force is not necessarily always the best way to go about it. Of course, that's what Trump knows. Who's going to send the National Guard in, which is, you know, all well and good. But, of course, then I agree, we need to get to the root causes, but the problem is they don't want to acknowledge the root causes of what's going on. It's probably the biggest issue we're going to deal with here is they don't want to acknowledge where the real problem is. So we will never get to the root cause because of that. But I digress. A lot of other things happen in the world. There's the BRICS thing is going on. We're going to talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I want to have some audio, hopefully to have some audio for the show tomorrow. I'd like to play some things that are going on. some of the things that Brandon Johnson have said. Gavin Newsom, he's also in the news talking about a lot of different things. He's supposedly, you know, playing the tough guy now. Imitating Trump and doing his tweets and doing all the stuff he does, he seems to think it's working for him. It's not. He's getting his base riled up a little bit. Does not affect and does not impress anybody in the independence world. And in fact, Trump's approval rating is going up in the middle of all this, which is something I don't want to talk about. With the presidential hopefuls they're going to have to make a decision here pretty soon because the 2026 elections are coming up, midterms, and they're going to end up needing to make some decisions about who's going to be in what position. They have to kind of position themselves. They're not looking good. Let's just put it this way: it's not looking good for the Democrats in 2026. In theory, they should win the House. And right now, it does not look like they're going to be able to do that. I don't see it happening. Of course, they were all big on the gerrymandering thing and getting the, you know, the districts and everything reorganized and set up in a different way. They've tried to do that in a couple of states. They found that it's already been done so much already that they can't do anything more for themselves to help themselves, really. So they're kind of in this situation where even if they did, quite a few news, actually honest journalists have looked at this whole thing and said, if this turned into a district redistricting war where Republicans and Democrats both did the redistricting, very simply, wouldn't take long. And the I think that the Republicans would still end up with like 8 more seats in the House. So they're not gonna win that battle. The best they could hope for is that they could pull it off, and the Republicans wouldn't retaliate and do anything in any other states. So it'd be interesting to see how this all pans out. But I'm pretty sure that in 2026, the Republicans are in a place where they have it's their race to lose. Let's put it that way. They could end up maintaining the House, in fact, gaining some seats, and even in the Senate. So it's a big possibility of them maintaining or increasing in the Senate. Now, all that being said, who knows? It's just this hatred and bitterness and anger towards Trump that's being riled up it's very evident with this one Minnesota shooter. Well, that's a whole other issue. We'll get into that because they're just falling. They keep falling all over themselves trying to say whether this is a he or a she. And of course they can't, they want to blame it on a white man, but he's not a white man. They can't call him white man because, even though he is, they can't call him that because he's trans. So they have to, placate that. So was it a woman that did it or a man that did it? It's just, they're having all these issues. So there we are. So anyway, that's just what I think. Let me know what you think about what I think. I have a lot of things to get into today, to get done today. And my dog, I thought he was going to get all anxious now. Usually he starts getting kind of antsy. He's settled down. I could talk another half an hour. In the meantime, show tomorrow will probably be from the worldwide headquarters. As far as I know, but we'll see how that goes. Friday as well, could possibility of it being from the worldwide headquarters, but it's hard to tell. It's all going to work out. In the meantime, folks, call the show 812-379-8778. Let me know what you think. You can leave a text message, or you can call and leave a message. Or if you're out of the country and you don't have a call plan, you can go to google.com/voice and put that number in there. In the meantime, folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See ya.